Peace of Christ be with you. Hey, we've got some visitors, some prospective students checking out Hope College. We want to welcome you to here. And if you're a prospective student, I normally don't say this, but I just feel compelled to say this morning. If you're a prospective student and you're feeling God calling you to this place, this community, which is one of a great community, and you're feeling maybe a little overwhelmed, you're not sure how to pull that off, whether financially or for whatever life circumstances, I just want to say this to you. God is a God of abundance, not scarcity. And if God is calling you to a place, don't let the circumstances get in the way. Choose to begin to pray that God will provide what you need. We've got the best admissions team in the country. We've got some of the best financial planners in the country, all to be here to help you figure out how to be part of this community. So I just want to say, if you're here and you're feeling that call, just there's a reason our college's name is Hope. You get that? You hear me? Students, you hear me? Can I get an amen on that? Hey, we got some other things going on this week. We've got Women's Night Out tonight. We've got a Men's Night Out. Come on. Yeah, there you go. I got it right to you. God wants you to sign up by noon today. That's the firm deadline. Sunday, if the first night of Renewed is going to be up. If you're somebody, a woman struggling with sexual addiction of any kind, contact at renewed@hope.edu for more information, time, and location. That starts Sunday. Hey, this week, I got a letter from my friend Karis, who's the dean of the chapel at Despondent University in upstate Washington in Wantmore County. If you're a first-year student or new, occasionally, I get a letter from my friend, Karis, who I went to University of St. Andrews with, and occasionally she sends me a letter of things going on their campus, and sometimes I feel like they're appropriate enough for me to read here. So, with your permission, can I just read you this letter I got from Karis this week? I thought it was cool. It's dated September 19th. Dear Trigvi, we have begun a new year at Despondent University. We are through all the last of the first. Last of the first classes, first conversations, first chapels, first meetings. I don't know about you, but I find some of the firsts exciting and exhausting all at the same time. I sometimes still feel like that awkward kid at recess, looking around and wondering, who's going to be my friend? Does that feeling ever go away? With the first over, we have entered into the beginnings of the year's rhythm. And even though I suffer from a dreaded Northern European disease called ARD, acute rhythmic disorder, especially when I dance, I do love finding a rhythm to my life. Rhythm is a good thing. That's one of the reasons why I love working at a college. A college is really like a small town. And like any small town, they have their own intrinsic rhythms marked by traditions that mark the passage of time. For example, at Despondent U, we have a tradition called the stretch that celebrates the beginning of fall. The stretch is one of our older traditions. Two groups of students, the even-tempered and the neurotically odd, discerned through psychological profiles given during orientation, like the sorting hat from Harry Potter, are put on their respective teams. And during an afternoon on the first day of fall, September 22nd, which was yesterday, are given a large industrial rubber band that is stretched across opposite ends of Viking Square. They have to pull it as far as it will go, and then they have to hold it. And the first side to let go loses. To let go is an act of shame that lives with them all year, maybe their whole lives. These teams train for weeks on end. You can hear them yelling, chanting, preparing themselves for the arduous physical and emotional challenge. The stretch, it lasts all day. And once it lasted a record 36 hours. People bleed, the rubber band cutting into flesh. Squads we call enthusiasts yell to the point of losing their voice. It's an odd but story tradition, but it's ours, and we like it. One of the things I love about September is that we get into the year, personal rhythms start to emerge for students and faculty. No one dictates it, the rhythms just emerge. Like the invisible hand, as people find a sense of pace and the campus settles in for that long sustained pattern of living and learning together. I love that feeling. One of my personal rhythms is an early morning cup of coffee. I sit out on my front porch at sunrise with Mackinac, Mac for short, an English setter, sitting at my feet, or I make my way to Life's Hard Cafe, where the motto is, "Life's hard. Have a cup of coffee." Here, while sipping, I try to be still, stay quiet, pay attention, pray, read scripture, ready myself for the day ahead. In September, I love to be up in the morning early. September has a particular morning light I find intoxicating. The sun casts its angles at first light, clear and bright, casting long blue shadows on the deep green grass. The air just starting to chill, but it's still warm enough to wear shorts. Soon enough, the trees will turn and light up like candles, but not yet. Not yet. In September, the foliage is as thick as an emerald beard, and though the season of long light is ebbing, it still seems to linger just a little longer. My morning cup of coffee is when I take it all in, and it's part of my daily rhythm. I'm noticing, however, that not all the rhythms I observe are as tranquil. I worry some of the rhythms I see students settle into may be unsustainable or even deforming to a life with God. For example, I feel like the new answer to any question of how are you doing is, I'm so busy. Busy is the new status. Busy is the sign of significance. Activity seems to define identity. I was thinking about this the other day when I ran into Diana just outside of Life's Hard Cafe. I had stopped to enjoy a moment of repose on my way to my study at Revelation Memorial Chapel. I was sipping an extra hot Americano when Diana buzzed by my table. You know, you should know, I love me some Diana. She is smart, genuine, caring, energetic, and super involved in everything. Diana makes my espresso nervous. Her life looks like a hummingbird, flying about at full speed all day, all the time, speaking while texting without commas or punctuation. Diana, how are you doing? I asked. Oh, Chaplain Karst, I'm great. I mean, awesome, just fantastic, but I'm so busy, you know? Let's get together sometime. I mean, I can't now. I got to run class, you know, then lab, and then I'm meeting with my enthusiast squad. I've got to work out and then rehearsal for a play and then a study session between Bible study and going for a walk with Brian. Have I told you about Brian? He's McDreamy. And finally, writing a paper on the necessity of time management to maximize maximum good based on chaos theory that believes in humanity's integral infinities. I'm so glad we had time to chat. Bye for now. And like that, she was gone. I was exhausted just listening. If I'm honest with you, I'm a little worried about Diana. Now, don't get me wrong, she's an amazing woman. If we could bottle up that energy, we could solve the energy crisis today. But I fear that Diana lives with the constant pressure to do all things, all the time, all at once. I'm worried that she's just going to one day burst out combustibly, or worse, crash in on herself when she learns that it's impossible to do it all the time. A life that is so busy is not a sustainable life. I worry that without some built-in margins, Diana might miss out on some of the best parts of college, like lingering over a spontaneous conversation at dinner, or finding a cool book in the stacks and reading it for pleasure, or going to a lecture to learn about something she knows nothing about, or having space to go to chapel, or having time to really get to know Brian and not just fit him in. The art of Christian living is learning to say no to lots of good things, so we have the freedom to say yes to the best things. The I'm so busy life is not the best life. In fact, it may actually be a way of avoiding your life. I know from personal experience that when I become so busy, it's a way to manage my life so that I don't have to confront the deeper questions, the lingering pain, or it's a way of putting off hard decisions I have to face. And so I fill my days with meetings, activities, responsibilities as a way of personal avoidance of the things in my soul that need attention. I fear that one day Diana is going to wake up and ask the question posed by T.S. Eliot, "Where is the life I have lost in living?" And so I'm wondering, what is the best way to pastor this new breed of hurried Christian? How can I help Diana slow down and pay attention to a God-rhythmed life that is centered in Jesus Christ? I think one of the ways we can begin is to reclaim an old practice. Yep, that's right. I think it's time we begin to practice a robust observance of Sabbath again. The Sabbath is not just a suggestion. It's actually one of the commands of God. In fact, it's one of the Ten Commandments, right up there with don't murder. Exodus 28, God says this, remember the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Keep it holy. Christians used to be a people who took Sabbath seriously. The Lord's Day, we called it. And it was a rhythm of the week that was sacred, protected, honored, set apart, holy, hallowed. Now we kind of laugh at it. Sabbath is something we feel like we need to overcome to maximize our time management efficiency. But that is a mistake. We need Sabbath. We were made for Sabbath. The great Jewish rabbi Abraham Heschel, in his book, The Sabbath, wrote this, there is a word that is seldom said, a word for an emotion almost too deep to be expressed, the love of Sabbath. I don't know about Hope College, but at Despondent U, we could use a little Sabbath rhythm as we begin a new year. Maybe it would help Diana take a deep breath once a week. One of the important lessons about the Sabbath is that God wants us to learn is that even if we don't work, the world still functions without us. Sabbath teaches us to practice the presence of God, and in that presence rest in God's rhythms, not ours. Sabbath is God's permission to be wholeheartedly at rest with God and with creation. It reminds us that margins are okay, that we don't have to be workaholics to earn our identity. Sabbath is an antidote to the so busy life. What would our campus culture look like if we practiced a weekly Sabbath? I think it would be one of the most countercultural things we could do institutionally to help students like Diane experience a healthy life. What if we institutionally reordered our rhythms so that Sabbath was the pinnacle of the week? What if the library was closed all day on Sunday? What if professors chose not to assign quizzes and tests or papers for Monday morning so people didn't have to study on Sunday? What if we shut off the internet for 24 hours on the Lord's Day? What if we were committed to having one evening a week when we all ate together, a slow meal, enjoying good food, good conversation, and then all worshiping together? What if we made Sabbath a rhythm where our life together was experienced not as a hurried race to the next appointment, but enjoying the lingering of relationships of meaning in time? That's what I want for Diana. And for myself, I want to see Diana walk slower or at least having a conversation without texting someone. I want Diana to find her life in the living, not missing it because she's so busy. I want Diana to say when I ask her how she's doing, I'm great. I've got some good space and margins in my life right now. And I'm not too busy to talk to you. And she sits down and we have an actual conversation. My friend, I hope all is well for you at Hope. Keep loving your people and serving your place and preaching the word of God with courage and boldness. And slow down, get up early, and enjoy a good cup of coffee and watch the shadows dance on the green lawn. My friend, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Your friend, Karis. When I received this and I read it, I thought about you. And as we launch into this year, I encourage you not to have a so busy life. Have a life where you have margins for relationships, conversations, the best things. Because God works in those margins in ways we can't always imagine. Amen? Amen. Have a great weekend, y'all. I'll see you Sunday.